please stand up. Okay, I've seen a lot of Mother's Day things, and usually they make the mother stand, and I'm thinking, you know what, they're tired. Just let them sit down. So, moms, thank you, moms that are sitting down, thank you. Okay, just rest up. You got a nice history teacher voice. You can have a seat now, guys. Everyone else. I know it's tiring. I want to read this poem that Maudie found. It's not from the Bible or anything. It's just a very nice poem, and certainly the author's a Christian. A prayer for Mother's Day. Lord, we remember the mothers who have gone before us. For their love, sacrifice, struggle, and joy, we thank you. Lord, we remember the mothers of Scripture who are a part of our story as we are a part of your story. For their courage, faith, love, and fierceness, we thank you. Lord, we remember those who have not given birth to us, but are mothers to us, for their gift of themselves that they have given, we thank you. For the women who struggle with fertility, for those women whom society labels as less in their childlessness, for those women who have lost children, for their tears, for their strength, for their wisdom, for their lives, we thank you. In your name we pray, amen, by Claire Shep. So I thought that was a beautiful poem. Thank you, Maudie, for this wonderful display. Jordan, can you help me with the offering here? So we'll do the offering now. Yeah, it's nice when it's programmed, you know. I did play it earlier, I just had to play it 3 or 4 times before I got it to come out like that. That song, Morning Has Broken, is part of the scripture that comes from is Luke 1, right at the end, when there's a prayer by Zechariah, John the Baptist's dad. And so I thought I would play that as part of that. But first, I want to just do a little tribute to moms here. I hope this works. This is a flash from the past. Most of you that are mothers would remember this. And don't worry, it's not the Hee-Haw Gang again. You're like, oh yeah, that's the same guy, huh? Okay. All right, so we'll see if this works here. Okay, I'm having technical difficulties. Okay, sometimes you just can't find your mouse. Okay, some of you will remember this commercial. I'm going to try to play it for you. Not that one. This is the one right here. Okay, so this screen is giving me problems here. Keeps going to extend for some reason. Now we're ready. We'll try this again here. Thank you. shameless use of the cords of motherhood to sell phones or something. But today, hopefully you'll call your mom. I want to call mine today. And if you can't call her because she's passed away, then hopefully you can spend a little time, hopefully get alone, go for a walk or something, and just spend some time thinking about you know, what she did for you and your life. But that's, Jordan, that's proof that not everything in the 80s was bad, okay? So, you know, that was a phone commercial from the 1980s, back when they still had the stretchy cords. And so I'm going to share from Luke chapter 1, and I want to talk about some... A lot of times Luke 1 gets shared around Christmas time, and I just want to start with verse 39 and not doing a children's sermon. I thought the quicker I get the moms out of church today, the happier they'll be. Just say a prayer for us guys, too, because it's a nerve-wracking day, you know, because you're always worried, like, okay, what are we going to forget to do? I poured Cheerios for Dawn this morning, so she's like... She poured them, but it was my idea. I was going to give them to her, but so pray for me. Okay. Anyways, verse 39, Luke chapter 1. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived, and the background is. Well, I'll just let the story reveal itself from Scripture here. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "You are blessed by God above all other women, and your child is blessed. What an honor this is that the mother of my Lord should visit me. When you came in and greeted me, my baby jumped for joy the instant I heard your voice. You are blessed because you believe that the Lord would do what he said." So Elizabeth had been barren a very, very long time, and Zechariah had pleaded with God that she could have a child. And what's happened earlier in the story is that Zechariah and Elizabeth found out that they were going to have a boy, and that this boy would be indeed John the Baptist, the prophet that would prepare the way for the Lord, spoken of in Isaiah. And this is Mary. Now, I think there's a joy in motherhood, but then when mothers come together all over the world, mothers enjoy getting together with other mothers and fellowshipping, and I think this is pretty neat. It's, of course, Mary's song of praise, pretty famous from Scripture, but I just wanted to put it in the context. This is Mary, and Elizabeth is going to be a mother who has struggled and struggled to become pregnant, and Mary, who has no reason to be pregnant other than God, the Holy Spirit, overshadowing her and conceiving this Savior in her. But now there's two moms here, and they're getting together. And I'd read that prayer a lot before, but I never really thought about it in context of, okay, these two ladies are together, they're fellowshipping, and they're both in on this miraculous salvation plan of the Lord's in a very special and close way. And Mary responded, "Oh, how I praise the Lord, how I rejoice in God my Savior, for he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and now generation after generation will call me blessed. For he, the Mighty One, is holy, and he has done great things for me. His mercy goes on from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm does tremendous things. How he scatters the proud and haughty ones. He has taken princes from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has satisfied the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. And now he has helped his servant Israel. He has not forgotten his promise to be merciful, for he promised our ancestors, Abraham and his children, to be merciful to them forever. Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then went back to her own home. And then, bear with me, I'm going to read the rest of this chapter. This is on the birth of John the Baptist. Now it was time for Elizabeth's baby to be born, and it was a boy. The word spread quickly to her neighbors and relatives that the Lord had been very kind to her, and everyone rejoiced with her. When the baby was 8 days old, all the relatives and friends came for the circumcision ceremony. They wanted to name him Zechariah after his father, but Elizabeth said, "No, his name is John." "What?" they exclaimed. "There is no one in all your family by that name." So they asked the baby's father, communicating to him by making gestures. He motioned for a writing tablet, and to everyone's surprise, he wrote, "His name is John." Instantly, Zechariah could speak again, and he began praising God. Wonder fell upon the whole neighborhood, and the news of what had happened spread throughout the Judean hills. Everyone who heard about it reflected on these events and asked, "I wonder what this child will turn out to be, for the hand of the Lord is surely upon him in a special way." Then his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and gave this prophecy, "Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited his people and redeemed them. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised through his holy prophets long ago. Now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. He has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred covenant with them, the covenant he gave to our ancestor Abraham. We have been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear, in holiness and righteousness forever. And you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. Because of God's tender mercy, the light from heaven is about to break upon us." That's the morning has broken. "To give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace." John grew up and became strong in spirit. Then he lived out in the wilderness until he began his public ministry to Israel. And I just wanted to do sort of, this is the very first Mother's Day I've ever preached on that I'm aware of. And it's a big deal. Obviously, I'm a little, you know, nervous about doing a good job and honoring the ladies. But I wanted to just take a look at motherhood sort of as a, what's that word? I guess I need my notes. There's a special word, a mosaic. A mosaic, a mother's mosaic. So I'd just like to look at maybe seven mothers from Scripture, and this is one of them, and just draw some points from them, lessons. Just be inspired by them, moms, and I know you already are, but I promise after a short while of looking at these seven mothers very briefly, then you'll be free to do more pleasant things today. So, but the first one I wanted to focus on was Moses' mother, and I'm saying Moses' mother because Jochebed was her name, and not a lot of you might have just come up with that name, but Jochebed obviously had special challenges. This is from Exodus chapter 1 and 2. Pharaoh was getting nervous at all the Hebrews. You know the stories. He says, "Kill all the Hebrew boys." He told his people. He didn't just tell his army. He told the people, "Kill all the Hebrew boys." So everybody that is looking around, you know, the Egyptians, they're going to be looking out for newborn baby boys. And obviously, you know when a lady's pregnant. So if these ladies are out doing work, if they're getting water, anything at all, then people know they're pregnant. They know they're when they're about ready to deliver. And this is a dangerous time to think that you're going to be giving birth. And if it's a boy, people are just going to swoop in and take this boy from you and kill him. So Jochebed, it says she saw that he was special, okay? And John and Elizabeth knew that their son was special. And I guess every mother that's ever held a baby in their arms, they've looked in their baby's eyes and known that their son or daughter is very special. And Jochebed recognized how special this child is. And why are they special? They're a gift from the Lord. They're a gift from the Lord. And so she saw, it says that he was special. She hid him for 3 months. And I think the whole time she's hiding him, she's developing this plan. And it, Scripture never says, and this was her plan. But the way things pan out, it's almost, it reads like a script. Because she makes this basket after the 3 months, waterproofs it, makes it comfortable, puts the baby inside. And a three-month-old baby starting to get some lung power. For sure, okay? When they're first born, babies are so cute. They go, wah, 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 wah. You know, and then about maybe a week later, I forget when it was that I started waking up at night. Dawn's like, yeah, you woke up. Okay. So I did wake up, Dawn. I knew that you would prefer to see the child to safety. So, okay. All right. I'm going to be eating Cheerios in the backyard for a while. But by 3 months old, Moses could probably, you know, sing a few songs. So he's developed some lung power. Now she puts him in this basket and tells Miriam, stand at a distance, but hide this basket right here in the reeds. And again, I think Jochebed knew that where the princess bathed. I think she knew this whole sequence, and again, I'm just surmising, but as soon as the princess finds this crying baby in the reeds, Miriam is right there to say, do you want me to go get a Hebrew lady to nurse that baby for you? And it works, okay? The princess of Egypt saw how precious this baby was and decided to keep it, and she says, sure, go get a Hebrew lady to nurse this. And so Moses' own mother, Jochebed, got to nurse her son. And I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but like Jesus, when he was around Bethlehem, imagine walking through Bethlehem when he's 33 years old. There's nobody else 33 years old in Bethlehem. No boys his age, because all of the boys, 33 and 32 and 31, when they were 2 years old or younger, Herod had had them killed. And Moses, all of the Hebrew boys in this whole graduating class, if you will, all boys his age, most of them were thrown into the river. But here's a mom who did something, anything she could, to help her boy survive. And it's not that other moms didn't love their boys. It's not that they didn't protest maybe to death themselves, saying, no, you're not taking my little boy from me. But there's a great inspiration here, isn't there, that she saw her son was special. She hid him for 3 months. And I could just picture her praying for 3 months too, saying, God, please, you know. And it's not that these other moms didn't pray either, but this is a neat story how God uses all of this. And I just think Jochebed probably had a plan. So she helped Moses survive. Okay, so she gave him birth, but then she gave him a second birth, if you will. And certainly, when we say second birth, the spiritual symbolism is very real. How many of us in our room, in this room right now, could say that their moms had a very significant role in leading us to the Lord, whether that be through their selfless giving or praying. Again, I know just moms from the the past 30 years that I've met, just 30 years of moms, that the number one thing on their heart usually is, please pray for my son, please pray for my daughter. And I know there are moms daily in this room on their knees pleading with God. And I thank you. I know Dawn has prayed when our Elizabeth was going through a little bit of a wayward time. I know Dawn and I were praying, but what a blessing it was to come here and not feel judged, just to know that there were prayer warriors just going to bat for us. So thank you, moms, for praying for your special children. And we'd like to join you with that. Also, another mom I'd like to consider is Rebecca. In the Old Testament, Rebecca marries Isaac, and Isaac, it's appropriate to talk about him on Mother's Day. He had a special bond with his mother, and the scripture says that when he married Rebecca, it helped him get over his loss of losing his mom. So she was a special special mom to Isaac. But Rebecca was infertile for 20 years, and it says that Isaac pleaded with the Lord that she could have children. And in this culture, you know from the story of Abraham and Hagar, that Sarah gave Hagar to Abraham, said maybe this is how the Lord will achieve his promise of making a great nation through you. You know from this culture, the culture at the time was that if you can't, well, your servant girl can have a kid, and it'll be like your kid, and it'll have all the rights and responsibilities that it was like your kid, just you didn't give birth to it. Well, we know from the story of Abraham and Sarah and Hagar and Ishmael that things are not ever that smooth. And so Isaac is pleading and pleading. And actually, Rebecca does the same thing that Sarah does and says, hey, why don't you take my servant girl and have a child in that way? But finally, the pleading is answered. And if you want to read it, Genesis 25:21 says, Isaac pleaded with the Lord on behalf of his wife. If you go back to Luke chapter 1, I didn't read it, but it says the angel, when he's talking to Zechariah, he says, your prayers for your wife have been answered. And I just wanted to say to us guys, what are you praying about for your wife? Does she have a passion? Something that she really wants, some goal she wants to achieve? Are you praying? Do you know her on a deep emotional level where you say, man, I want to pray for this for you. I want you to, and it might not be a child. It might be something completely different. I really want to, you know, have a singing career. I know Gary has supported Jan in all of her multi-faceted talents in singing in churches, and that's wonderful. And, so hopefully, guys, more than just saying, why don't you have a bowl of Cheerios, hopefully you're doing something precious and wonderful for your wife and getting to know her emotionally and saying, all right, I wanna do whatever I can to help. And if you know what it is, and it might be something that's just too raw of a nerve to even talk about, but you can go to the Lord and say, Lord, you know this is a fear of hers, this is a victory she wants to have in this area or whatever. Just lift her up and plead to the Lord, just like Isaac did, just like Zechariah did. And so again, these special ladies, Rebecca is going to have twins, Jacob and Esau, and Jacob is going to be a real mama's boy, the same way that Isaac was with his mom, Sarah. Jacob is going to really love Rebecca. And let me just read a couple things I wrote down about mothers. Obviously, these are quite commonplace things that are said on Mother's Day. But there's a black and blue of motherhood. There's a lot of sacrifice and sorrow. And you get beat up. And it's a thankless job. And as you read through scripture, if you look at Jochebed having a child taken away by a princess even, after nursing that child, she wanted to keep that child, I'm sure, but she had to say goodbye for a time. If we go to Hagar, which is who I want to finish with today, she also suffered immensely while also being a mother. Hannah gets beat up, emotionally by Penina. I've talked about that, but even sometimes in these multi-wife families, you see the pattern developing in Scripture that the husband loves one wife more and she can't have kids, so that makes the other wives act in certain ways. And Penina certainly tormented Hannah and, lorded it over her. Leah, I think, to some extent, did that over Rachel. Those would be Jacob's wives. And so you have this situation where it can be real emotional, and you're just trying to live, go through your life, but love your children and raise your children, and you can get beat up. That's all. There's lots of different stories. I should probably just pick one and develop it, but I'm sorry. This is a mosaic, so it's like all over the place. That's you, Cornell, all over the place. Okay. So, but listen, there's a black and blue of motherhood, and then there's a very true fact that they nourish us, as Jochebed and every mother in the past has done. They nurture us. And for nurturing, I do think of Hagar especially, because Hagar was like the single mom of Scripture. And even though Abraham was this very wealthy man, Abraham had all of this wisdom from God that he could impart on her son, I'm sure he enjoyed doing that for the first 15 years that they're around. But you know the story of Hagar. Sarah's idea to give Hagar to Abraham, and then Sarah's immediately jealous when Ishmael is born and can't stand being around Hagar or Ishmael, especially when they're celebrating little baby Isaac's being weaned. You know, he's now a man. He's a three-year-old man. Good job. And they're having a big party, and something was being done between Hagar and Ishmael that Sarah interpreted, at least as they were making fun of this. Well, who doesn't make fun of a three-year-old? They're so adorable, they're cute. And but anyways, Sarah's like, she blows her stack at this big party and says, she's gone. I don't want her around. I don't want him around. He's not going to inherit anything of yours. And Abraham loves his now 15-year-old son, Ishmael, and I'm sure loved Hagar to an extent, but he's the first time Hagar runs away because of Sarah's mistreatment. That's in Genesis 16. Then Genesis 21, it's official, But in both cases, Hagar's completely on her own, and the first time she's just pregnant and on her own, and an angel says, "Go back, return," and she's obedient and she goes back. This last time, Abraham, Genesis 21, sends her out, says, here's a pack, little bucket of water and some food. Okay, take care. And it says she wandered aimlessly. She wandered aimlessly. And she just runs out of water. And, God has said that he's going to do great things through her, and Ishmael will be the father of a great nation. But she can't see it. She's hopeless, and she's beat up and black and blue, and she puts the baby down by a bush a little ways away. She says, I don't want to watch him when he dies. And then she cries out, and God comes down again, another angel, and says, hey, relax here. There's a fountain right here, a spring right here. And so it's a touching story. You can go back and look at any of these moms: Jochebed, Hagar, Rebecca, Hannah, Rachel, Sarah. But they all had struggles and trials, and life wasn't perfect. they dealt with, you know, all of that other stuff. And then two New Testament moms I picked were Elizabeth and Mary, but we could go through the New Testament, get a lot more. But those seven ladies that I'm just looking at, Jochebed, Hannah, Rebecca, Rachel, Sarah, Elizabeth, Mary, I guess it's eight with Hagar, those ladies, what do? They nourished their children. They nurtured them. They made them feel secure. And I think Hagar especially, she has to raise this boy, Ishmael, pretty much by herself. And it says she wandered aimlessly. I think, why is she wandering aimlessly? Because she doesn't want to go anyplace else. She loves Abraham. She loves that whole family that she was a part of, but she's out on her own. And I just feel like there's a special message there for the single moms that, you know, the Lord was with her. And when she felt completely helpless and overwhelmed, God said, oh, guess what? I got you. I got you. And there's nourishment, a spring of living water, if it were, to help her. And Ishmael has 12 sons. And so just like there's 12 tribes of Israel, there's 12 tribes of Ishmael. And it says, if you read it, it's kind of funny. I mean, it says Ishmael will be a wild man and he's going to always be fighting. And all 12 of these sons, it says they are always just fighting. Okay, so not that you want to have children that fight. You don't. But if you do have children that fight, you want to live in the country and say, go out in the woods up there, you know, just say, okay, we'll talk to you when you get back. Don't hit anybody with a big stick. If it's this big around or bigger, don't, you can't hit them with it. Smaller than that, you can. Okay, so see, we had rules around our house. Last thing, okay, I want to close up here. Mothers set us an example for us. They praise and rejoice, and they worship the Lord. So Mary and Elizabeth get together and have this wonderful praise time. And they do that for us as well. And Elizabeth and Zechariah were maybe fortunate in the sense that they were older. And I think probably before John the Baptist is beheaded, maybe Zechariah and Elizabeth are already with the Lord in heaven. But Mary was a young girl, and so she's, we know, was there watching her son be crucified. And she set an example for us, raising, first of all, being pure enough and holy enough and faithful enough to God that when this all happened, she was like, may it be as the Lord says. She knew that there'd be black and blue ahead. She probably knew that people would maybe say things about her son, certainly would say things about her. So she knew all of that was ahead. And yet, here she is with Elizabeth, just praising and rejoicing, not thinking about what the world's going to say, not thinking about how her son is going to die on a cross, and maybe she didn't know. But again, it says, if you keep reading Luke, she treasured all these things in her heart. And I think moms, you do that more than us guys do. I think you just do a great job of that, of treasuring your children. You look at them and appreciate them in a way that certainly fathers do, but mothers, you really treasure them and keep these things in your heart. And by setting an example for us, even when all kinds of bad stuff might happen to you, you just like keep going back to the cross. And even if we're in a spot like Jesus was dying, and you're helpless to prevent that sometimes, you just keep being faithful. And what do we find after? After Jesus dies, she's still faithful. She's still going to that grave. And she's still a part of the vibrant New Testament church that comes out of that. So again, again, I swirled all around these moms because I wanted you just to realize how many great moms there are, but also how much emotion is there, how much despair, how much heartbreak, how much sorrow, but also how much victory and praise and peace we can find if we just keep going back to the Lord. So for us guys, I just hope that we can continue to support the mothers that are in our lives and make their task easier, not harder, not more difficult. There are definitely mistakes that guys made in here that I did not detail, but a lot of mistakes that I would make too, guys make, and then that just exacerbates the problems. So just want to close and just tell a story. When I was 4 years old, my mom led me to the Lord. And just what a great relationship that's been with the Lord. I'm just so thankful that I had a mom that did that. So let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day and again a chance just to appreciate what our moms have done for us. Pray that we'll just make you proud and make our moms proud and do the best we can just living for you until you come back. Lord, we know the time is probably limited that we have here on planet Earth. Help us to be really full of your Spirit, Lord. Help us just to feast on your word every morning, every night, delight in your word so that we can just be ready to give a reason for the hope that's in us. Help us to be very aware that whether or not we're biologically parents, we can definitely be moms or dads in the truest sense of the word by just sharing the gospel with others and then praying for and discipling those that believe in this message. And I think of the Apostle Paul, Lord, as he wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and he says, we were like a mother loving you tenderly and gently, and then later saying, we were like a father caring for your needs. Lord, I just pray that all of us would wake up, and that big concern of our day is not, can I get my work done? Can I get my things to-do list done? Help us, Lord, that big heartfelt concern in our hearts to be like that of every mother is, are my children okay? And that can be our spiritual children. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11, he says the greatest concern he had every day when he woke up was his concern for the churches, the believers that he had led to the Lord. He was praying that they would continue to follow. And Lord, we ask that for each child of every mother here. We ask that for us just to be so faithful in sharing the gospel with those around us, that every child of every mother here could just know you as their Savior, Lord, and come back and walk with you. And I know there's just such a strong emotional cord, and I just pray that these children that love their moms would also realize the great, great love that they're missing out on in you, and that they would come home to that. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name.